desert down her throat. Bending double to hack the coarse grittiness out of her esophagus, she waited until she could catch her breath before stumbling forward, deciding to head into the nearest pyramid, the only one that was real amid the illusions of others, as she'd painfully discovered on her first visit. Wiping tears from her eyes after the attack of wind, sand, and glare, Alex was relieved to find shelter inside the archaeological wonder. Almost immediately, she heard excited voices from further in and headed towards them. She found her parents kneeling in a flame-lit chamber at the base of a pillar, covered in carved hieroglyphs, talking a mile a minute over each other.
Rach, honey, can you see?
I know, Jack. It's incredible. Just look at extraordinary.
I can't believe.
Alex cleared her throat loudly, drawing their startled gazes.
Alex? What a lovely surprise, said her mum Rachel, rising to her feet and brushing sand off her knees. She closed the distance between them and drew Alex in for a hug.
What are you doing here, sweetheart? Asked her dad, Jack,
embracing her after her mother.
Please don't say it's because you have more immortal elves after you for us to worry about. One archenemy is enough for any grand adventure, in my humble opinion.
Avon's not an elf, Dad, Alex said. Though she could understand the popular culture comparison, she made it frequently herself. He's a Maiaran.
And can't a girl visit her parents without needing a reason?
Jack looked at her in a way only a father could.
Once in a lifetime opportunity or not, I still have moments where I wonder if we made the right decision letting you come back here. If Avon's as dangerous as you say,
he trailed off, gathering his thoughts.
You know, if Darius hadn't told us that the elf can now use the library to step through to Earth and kidnap you, I'm not sure our decision would have been the same. But if he can get to you no matter where you are, then I guess
that you might as well be somewhere where you're learning how to not get caught by him.
Rachel jumped in to finish.
And you are, sweetheart. Aren't you? Learning how to stay safe from him?
Understanding their concern, Alex tried to reassure them. I am. And believe me, when my combat instructor is through with me, Avon won't stand a chance. No one will be capturing me, Maiaran, human, or otherwise. Noting their still troubled faces, Alex decided it was time for her to divert their attention away from imminent threats to her life, and therefore the lives of all Midorans. She took in their dirt-smudged skin and, keeping her tone deliberately light, said,
Now, enough about me. I want to hear about what you guys have been up to. It sure looks like you're having fun down here.
That was all it took for her easily distracted, work-loving parents to switch gears, all talk of Avon forgotten. Again, Alex was reminded of how they'd seemed to repress what Darius had told them about Alex's dealings with the Maiaran. But if compartmentalizing it all helped calm her parents enough to allow Alex to continue on at Acarnae, then she'd let them repress anything they wanted.
This place is amazing, Rachel gushed. The parallels between Midora and Earth are astounding. Already we've made several new discoveries, and the wonders just keep coming.
You should have seen the alluvial deposits we found yesterday, said Jack, practically glowing with pleasure. I've never seen such nutrient-dense soil before in my life.
Who doesn't love a good alluvial deposit? Replied Alex,
unintentionally setting her parents off on a long-winded discussion about the importance of fertile soil for ancient crop cultivation. It was only after listening patiently to their overload of farming information, as well as the tangent conversation about the large canopic vases they'd found a few days ago, including the mummified contents within and just who they might have originally belonged to, that Alex considered her parental duty complete for the day. With distracted goodbyes and be carefuls from her parents, who were clearly eager to get back to their hieroglyphs, Alex willed a return doorway to appear from right inside the pyramid. It opened, showing her a view of the library's foyer. But something unexpected happened as soon as she stepped through the door. With a disorienting swirl of color, the scenery changed, causing her to land not in the well-lit foyer, but in the middle of a forest. Thoroughly bewildered, Alex turned around once, twice, and then stood there weighing her options. She clearly wasn't in the library anymore, but she had no idea how that had happened. Never before had she stepped through a doorway and arrived anywhere but where she had chosen. No, that wasn't right. Her very first foray into the fantasy world had landed her in a forest clearing where she'd met Avon, and then Jordan and Bear. But that didn't explain where she was now, or why she was there. Hello? She called out timidly, wondering what she was supposed to do. No one answered, and she soon realized no one was going to. For whatever reason, the library had decided to intervene and drop her off somewhere unexpected, and without any instruction whatsoever, and Alex had little option but to simply go with it. If only she could open a doorway, that would solve all her problems. But when she was in Medora, she had to be within the library in order to will a door into existence. Either that, or she had to have already exited from a doorway that she could then call back into being for the return trip. Neither of those options were available to her at the moment, since technically she hadn't opened the doorway that led to her being lost in the middle of nowhere. That left her with one option. "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe," she said, closing her eyes and pointing in all directions. When her finger landed, she started off into the forest, stepping cautiously through the thick shrubbery and wishing she'd worn sturdier shoes. "I hope you have a good reason for sending me here," she murmured, knowing instinctively that if the library put her there, then it could hear her whinging. A branch snapped loudly behind her, and the sound reminded Alex that she was in a world where all sorts of monstrous creatures likely prowled through the woods. Another branch snapped, closer this time, causing her body to tense. A thick bush rustled only a few feet away from where she stood. The shrubbery was at least twice her height, with a width more than three times that. The rustling increased until the whole bush was moving, and Alex's heart began to pound in her chest as she backed away. When the rustling stopped, Alex released the breath she'd been holding, but it turned into a squeal of fright when something lunged towards her. She scurried backwards until she was pressed up against a tree, but when she caught sight of her attacker, she let out a relieved laugh. "Aren't you cute?" she gushed at the furry little creature that looked like some kind of squirrely possum, fluffy with big eyes and a long curling tail, hardly the nightmarish monster she'd feared. Alex knew better than to reach out to touch the animal, knowing her luck. She'd catch some funky disease from it. But she had to admit, it was adorable, so much so that she was too busy watching it scavenge for food to notice that the bush was still rustling. A snarl was the only warning she had before a black shadow burst through the shrubbery and caught the squirrely creature in its teeth, snapping its body with a sickening crunch and swallowing it whole. Alex shrieked and threw herself to the ground just as the animal lunged for her next. It was hideously terrifying, huge and hairy, with unnatural blood-red eyes and dilated black pupils. Talon-like claws ripped into the tree where she'd been standing, and when the animal turned to growl at her, she could see its razor-sharp teeth, each of which was about as long as her hand. Alex scrambled to her feet when her fight-or-flight instinct activated and bolted blindly into the forest. She had no defense, no weapon, nothing at all. She didn't even have speed to her advantage, since she could hear the creature quickly gaining on her. She wouldn't be able to outrun it. But what else could she do? At least the dense woodland was working in her favor, helping to slow the beast. She dared not look back. Hearing the creature's frustrated growls as it struggled through vines was enough to know that it was still close behind. Too close. She needed to get out of there. She needed to get higher. Alex glanced back at the creature as she tore through the forest. While its front legs held lethal talons, its back legs had no claws that she could see. She could only hope that meant it couldn't climb, And with that thought, she grabbed onto a thick vine and scurried up the closest tree. But she wasn't high enough when the monster caught up with her, and before she could scramble out of reach, it jumped up and swiped its claws along her back, tearing into her flesh. Alex cried out in pain and nearly lost her grip, but she managed to hold on and continued to heave herself up. She stopped when she was nearly at the canopy and shakily rested against the thick tree trunk. Her back was screaming in agony, but she was more concerned about what to do next. The creature was prowling at the base of the tree, snarling and growling at her. She had no way to escape, and then, out of nowhere, Alex heard voices. The creature heard them too, and it turned away and looked in the direction of the noise. It jumped into a thick bush until it was concealed entirely from sight, its dark, hairy body camouflaged by the dense foliage. Just as she was about to call out a warning, three people walked into view. Alex jerked back with shock and shrunk further into the tree, hiding amongst the vines and leaves. Her reaction may have been dramatic, but it was also justified, because one of the people was Avon. Seriously, did she have the worst luck or what?
"She's nearby. I can sense her," Avon proclaimed.
Alex shuddered at his announcement. Was he talking about her? How did he know she was there? She peered at the silvery scar on her hand, feeling an unpleasant churning in her stomach at the reminder of when his blood had mixed with hers. Was it possible that... No, she couldn't bear to consider the thought that he was somehow able to sense her through the scar. It wasn't possible. It couldn't be.
"Are you sure?" Gerald asked.
Even from her elevated position, Alex could easily recognize the tattoo-covered man she'd last seen fleeing from the library with Avon.
"You doubt me, Gerald?"
Avon asked dangerously.
Of course not,
Gerald stuttered.
"He'd never be so stupid as to doubt you, my prince," said the third member of the group,
a woman Alex didn't recognize. She was tall and refined, with blonde hair and vacant, glassy eyes.
"You're right, Callista," Avon agreed.
"He must know how unwise it would be to question my judgment."
Gerald opened his mouth, most likely to apologize again, but Avon quieted him with a look.
"Silence. She's here."
Gerald and the woman, Callista, tensed. They both withdrew blades from belted scabbards and held them at the ready. Alex froze, wondering what they planned to do to her.
"Put your weapons away," Avon said. "This is between me and her."
They did as he commanded, and he stepped closer to the tree in which Alex was perched high above them.
Come out, wherever you are,"
Avon goaded as he unsheathed his own weapon. Alex gripped the tree trunk, her knuckles white. Avon hadn't looked up, so there was a possibility that he didn't know where she was exactly. She wasn't going to give away her position, no matter what. But what happened next was so unexpected that she nearly let go. In her fear of Avon, she'd forgotten about the dark beast, which soon made its presence known, lunging from the bush and slamming into Avon's torso. The Maiaran didn't so much as blink. He raised his arm and slashed his blade into the neck of the hairy creature before effortlessly throwing the bulky mass aside with the weapon still embedded in its flesh. Alex's stomach roiled at the sound of the beast's gurgling whine as it fell limply to the ground. Avon patted his torn sleeve where the creature had clawed his arm, frantically inspecting his clothes and skin. Alex could see his silver blood dripping from where the monster's talons had swiped into his flesh, but she knew his Maiaran genes would heal the wound soon enough.
"Quickly, Gerald,"
Avon ordered, snapping his two human companions out of their shock.
"We need to leave before Marcel discovers how close we are to his precious school."
It was then that Alex realized Avon hadn't come for her at all. He hadn't been calling for her, because she wasn't the one he could sense. It was the creature he'd been hunting. Alex let out a stuttered breath of relief, but locked her body again when Avon cocked his head to the side, listening with his superior Maiaran hearing. He glanced around with a quizzical expression before shaking his head and turning his attention back to his companions. While Alex focused on not making any sound that might draw his attention again, Callista reached into her jacket and retrieved a glass vial. She handed it to Gerald, who knelt and yanked out Avon's blade, pressing the vial against the slashed neck of the creature. The glass filled with a murky brown liquid as the creature's blood gushed out of the fatal wound.
"That's enough," Avon said.
Gerald pressed a stopper in the top and made to hand the vial to Avon, but the Maiaran hissed and backed away.
"Remember what I told you, fool!"
Gerald's ink-covered face paled, and he hastily shoved the blood-filled container into his clothes.
"Is that all we need, my prince?" Callista asked.
"For the moment."
Avon looked down at the lifeless creature.
Such a waste. She had so much potential.
Alex felt the hair on her neck stand on end at his words, and she imagined herself in the same place as the animal, with Avon standing over her defeated body. She shook the thought from her mind and watched silently as he drew out a bubbler and threw it to the ground. Without another word, he led the way through, and as soon as Gerald and Callista stepped in after him, the bubble gateway vanished. Alex exhaled deeply the moment they were gone. She couldn't believe Avon had been searching for the very creature that had been chasing her. It was too much of a coincidence, and Alex didn't believe in coincidences.
"What are you playing at?" she whispered, wanting to know why the library had sent her there.
She, of course, received no answer. She loosened her grip and considered her next move. There was no way she was going to leave the safety of the tree, but she needed to start moving and find her way back to Acarne. Avon's words about Darius gave her hope that she wasn't too far from the academy. So she just had to figure out which direction to go in. Ignoring the throbbing pain in her back, Alex started climbing higher up the tree. She was close to Acarne. If she was close to Acarne, then she should be able to get her bearings if she broke through the canopy. Climbing was hard work. The higher she rose, the more entangled she became in the leaves and branches. But eventually she managed to push through, and she balanced precariously on the swaying treetop, gripping for dear life. Squinting into the distance, she was able to recognize the rising hulk of Mount Pedrus, confirming that she was in the Azera Forest, and showing which direction she needed to go to reach the academy. Shimmying back down, Alex halted her descent when she reached a place where the branches thickly overlapped, making them more stable. She began moving through the trees, crawling more often than walking. It was slow going, but with the advantage of height, she didn't fear any more encounters with hairy, snarling beasts. Or Avon, for that matter. She was sure he was long gone, but the last thing she needed was to have another close and personal run-in with him again so soon. Soon enough, Alex's patience waned, and her confidence grew, leading her to trust that the branches would hold her weight as she walked, ran, and often jumped from tree to tree, holding onto the vines for balance and support. Alex felt like a Tarzan wannabe as she moved stealthily through the forest. Eventually, the trees began to thin, bringing her out of the woodland and to the edge of the academy grounds. Just as she was about to climb down to the ground, something caught her eye a few trees away. Her injured back was screaming in agony after all the climbing and jumping, and she was desperate to visit Fletcher for some of his miraculous healing salve. But Alex couldn't resist investigating the object glinting in the afternoon light. She leapt the last few branches until she was able to reach up and grab the object from above her head.
"What is this doing out here?" she whispered to herself,
turning the shiny necklace over in her hands. While the unexplainable resting place of the jewelry was a mystery, what surprised Alex the most was that it was fashioned from myrocks, a stunning but rare Maiaran steel. The chain was a simple strand of the silver-like material, but it was the pendant that was truly enchanting. It was a miniature depiction of a beautifully crafted archer's bow, with the arrow drawn and ready for release. The detail was incredible, and the glowing myrocks infused the ornament with a lifelike quality. Alex wondered how such a prized possession could have ended up hidden so high in the trees. It didn't make any sense. She shrugged to herself, and unsure what else to do, undid the minuscule clasp on the chain and reattached it around her neck. She felt a little uneasy wearing someone else's pendant, but at least this way she wouldn't drop it or lose it in her climb down to the ground. Branch by branch, Alex slowly lowered herself, wincing as she grappled with the rough bark. Her palms were shredded from all the climbing she'd endured, but that was nothing compared to the throbbing gashes across her back. When Alex reached the ground, she stretched out her cramping arms and legs before setting off through the last of the thinning forest. Within a few short steps, the academy came into view, and she felt like dropping to her knees in relief. The only reason she didn't was because she wasn't sure if she'd be able to get back up again. It took her a while to walk around the edge of Lake Fee and hike across the massive field. But eventually, Alex made it to the campus, and she headed straight for the medical ward. The sight that met her inside Fletcher's domain was not what she'd expected. The ward was so full of patients that she wondered if she should leave and come back later. But then her back throbbed its disagreement, and she grimaced at the pain. "Alex," Fletcher greeted her, more frazzled than she'd ever seen him. "I take it you're here for the same reason as your classmates?" She frowned in confusion and looked around the room, noting that the patients were all fourth-year students. "What happened?" she asked, feeling a stab of concern as she searched for the familiar faces of her friends. She relaxed slightly when she couldn't see them anywhere.
"Weren't you with them?"
"No, I was elsewhere," she said meaningfully. Fletcher's eyes lit with understanding.
"Oh, I see. Well, some of your classmates push themselves too far in their pursuit of a position in Hunter's class. Nothing too serious, mind you, but they certainly weren't being very careful."
Alex looked around the room once more and noticed the various injuries. Cuts and bruises seemed to be the most common ailments, but she also saw a number of bandaged limbs.
"Since you weren't with them, can I assume you'll live until I've herded them all out of here?" Fletcher asked.
Alex swallowed, wondering how long that would take. But she'd already managed on her own while forging through the forest. Surely she could wait just a little longer. Her pain spiked again at the thought, but she ignored it and nodded to Fletcher. The doctor sent her a grateful smile and indicated towards a spare bed in the corner of the room.
"I won't be too long,"
he promised, hurrying off to assist his other patients. Alex stumbled over to the bed, careful to keep her back to the wall and away from curious eyes. She was wearing a black shirt, which helped conceal the bloodstains, but she was certain the material was ripped from the creature's claws. She sat on the bed with her legs dangling over the edge of the mattress and waited. She couldn't lie down, and she couldn't lean on anything, not unless she wanted to stain the white bed sheets or walls with her blood. She was tired, she was hungry, and she was in some serious agony now that she wasn't doing anything to pump her adrenaline and keep her mind off her injury. If only she'd had the foresight to ask Fletcher for some of his pain relief medicine. Then, at least, she could have been more comfortable while waiting. It took half an hour for the majority of her classmates to be discharged, but there were still a few left with whom Fletcher was finishing up. She wished they would heal faster.
"Don't tell me you fell out of a tree, too?"
Alex looked up and found herself face to face with Caden. She sent him a baffled look. "Why would I have fallen out of a tree?" Really, considering everything else, it was a miracle she hadn't fallen out of a tree. But how could he have known about that?
"Isn't that what happened to most of your classmates?"
he said, leaning against the bed. She turned towards him, attempting to keep her shredded flesh out of sight. "I'm not sure what happened to them," Alex admitted. "Fletcher said they went a bit crazy in the SAS trial." Caden's eyes flickered briefly over her body, as if examining her for injury.
"What about you?"
"What about me?"
"How did you go in the trial?"
She blinked at him. "I didn't do it." He looked surprised.
Really?
Yes, really, Alex huffed. Why was it so hard for people to believe she didn't want any part of Hunter's class?
How unexpected.
His lips curled into a secretive smile. I've never heard of anyone not trying out for SAS. Alex floundered for a response and settled on a lame, well, now you have. He peered intently at her and then chuckled quietly, but she wasn't sure what was so funny.
You're different, Alex. You know that?
Her tone was wry when she replied, you have no idea. He grinned in response and thankfully didn't ask any more questions. What are you in here for? She asked conversationally, shifting her position and barely hiding a wince. You don't look hurt or sick.
Healthy as a horse, Caden confirmed.
So,
I came to report to Fletcher that everyone is accounted for, he said.
Accounted for?
Hunter had all the current SAS students out on patrol to keep an eye on the potential initiates,
Caden explained, waving his hand towards the students still left in the medical ward.
We weren't allowed to interfere with the exercise, only to report our observations.
He asked me to come and tell Fletcher that everyone is now out of the forest. You're in SAS? Alex was curious despite herself. What's it like? His eyes lit up, but all he said was,
it's something you definitely have to experience for yourself.
Vague much? Alex said with a teasing grin. Then she asked, what was the exercise?
I can't tell you that,
he said with an apologetic shake of his head.
Even your classmates weren't told beforehand.
Alex frowned. How were they supposed to complete the exercise if they didn't know what they had to do?
They were given brief instructions that were meant to be interpreted as clues.
Alex looked at him. Exactly how brief were those instructions? Caden held his hands up. Easy now. Remember, I'm not Hunter. And besides, I had to do the same thing last year, or something similar anyway. Did you end up in the med ward afterwards?
Broken collarbone, he admitted almost proudly. But it was worth it, since I got a place in the class.
You're insane, she said. I honestly don't understand the appeal.
Don't worry. You'll figure it out soon enough.
That wasn't going to happen, not unless one of her friends made it into the class and regaled her with stories of their stealthy and subterfuge adventures. But if they did, then they'd probably be too cool to use words like subterfuge. Alex chuckled at the thought and then grimaced from pain. This time she failed to hide her reaction. Caden stiffened and Alex thought she caught a flash of concern in his eyes as he looked her over.
Are you hurt?
It's nothing, she told him quickly.
I don't believe you,
he said, his gaze probing her face.
I told you why I'm here. What's your reason?
Really, it's nothing, she repeated, looking away and hoping he would let it drop. You should give Fletcher your message and go. It's probably dinner time by now.
Hey,
he said, reaching out to gently grasp her shoulder and turn it back to him. The movement surprised her, and she hissed when her torn flesh spasmed painfully. Caden dropped his hand at her reaction, but then his face hardened with determination, and before she could stop him, he leaned around to look behind her. She flinched away from him. But the damage was done.
What happened?
He demanded, his tone both concerned and unexpectedly protective.
If you say it's nothing one more time,
he interrupted, leaving his sentence hanging with the threat. He wasn't going to let it go, she knew. But before she could decide what to tell him, Fletcher arrived.
Now that everything is sorted, what can I do for you, Alex?
She looked from the smiling doctor to the narrow-eyed Caden and sighed in defeat. I was attacked by an animal out in the forest. There, done. Just like ripping off a Band-Aid. Fletcher sent her a look, clearly knowing that she was downplaying the situation.
Where are you hurt?
She carefully eased herself off the bed and turned around. She hadn't had a chance to look at her injury, and Caden had barely glanced at the wound. But from both his and Fletcher's sharp inhalations, she could guess it wasn't a pretty sight.
Alex, Fletcher breathed. Why didn't you tell me you were this badly injured when you arrived?
She turned to face him again, but kept her gaze averted and shuffled her feet.
You were busy. I didn't want to interrupt.
He tisked quietly and ordered her to get back on the bed while he went to get medical supplies. When he returned, he instructed her to lie down on her stomach, and he lifted the hem of her shirt. The wound was on her lower back, so it wasn't too awkward, but she was very aware that Caden was still standing by her bed. Fletcher pressed something wet against the wound, and she had to bite her tongue to keep from crying out at the stinging pain. The doctor tried to take her mind off what he was doing by launching into his interrogation.
What sort of animal did this?
I don't know what it was, she said, trying and failing to keep her breathing steady as she focused on his question and not the burning of her flesh. It was big and black and hairy, with creepy red and black eyes and claws on its front feet. Its teeth were as long as my hands, and its blood was a strange brown color.
Fletcher's voice was contemplative when he said,
It sounds like a Hyroa, but they're practically extinct, and there certainly shouldn't be any of them left near these parts. What do you think, Caden?
His face troubled, Caden responded,
That was my first thought, too, given the description. But like you said, Fletch, they're supposed to be nearly extinct, and definitely not roaming free in the Azera Forest. If that's the case, Fletcher said, turning back to Alex, how did you manage to get away from it?
I've never encountered one, but rumors claim that they're extremely bloodthirsty and move much faster than the average human can run. They're very dangerous, Alex.
Gee, you think? She thought, only just managing to keep her sarcasm internal. It didn't look like the type of animal that could climb very well, not with different front and back feet, she said. I decided to use that to my advantage and climb up into the trees, but it caught me before I was high enough and swiped me with its claws.
That must have been intensely painful, Fletcher murmured.
I've felt worse, Alex said quietly, remembering with vivid clarity the feeling of Avon's ice-like dagger slicing through her back and into her lungs. She shuddered at the memory and turned her head, only to find Caden's curious eyes on her. Why was he still here anyway?
Nevertheless, this likely caused you no small amount of discomfort, Fletcher pressed. How much time has passed since you were attacked?
Alex tried to calculate it in her head. She'd left to visit her parents after lunch and stayed with them for about an hour before she was unceremoniously dumped in the forest. So that meant... I think it happened around 2:30. There was a weighty silence after the words left her mouth. What? She asked, feeling self-conscious.
Alex, it's 6 o'clock, Fletcher said. You only arrived here about half an hour ago. What were you doing all that time?
Making my way back, she answered. Obviously. Caden sent her a probing look.
Back from where?
Oh. Oops, I was kind of lost in the forest, she said, until she'd found her bearings. That was definitely true.
Why were you out there if you weren't applying for SAS? Caden pressed.
That's an excellent question, Alex said. She then closed her mouth and turned her head to look in the opposite direction, having no intention of answering. The last thing she needed was for Caden to learn about the murderous Mayaren, hell-bent on using her for his own nefarious purposes. Uh-uh, no way. She heard him exhale in frustration and she felt a little guilty. But come on, she hardly knew the guy. She didn't owe him an explanation.
All right, how about this one? He said, moving around to the other side of the bed so she could see him again. How do you know the color of the Hyroa's blood?
Alex blanched at the new line of interrogation. She absolutely couldn't answer, not without talking about Avon. Upon seeing her startled reaction, Caden leaned in further. He didn't say anything but continued looking at her, waiting for her answer.
I,
she stuttered. Fletcher chose that moment to apply some kind of paste to her back, and she couldn't suppress the whimper that escaped her lips.
Perhaps it's best if you leave, Caden, the doctor said gently but firmly. It sounds like Alex has been through quite an ordeal, and she could do with some rest.
Alex saw Caden hesitate, and she braced herself for his response. But then he relaxed and nodded at Fletcher.
Thank you for reporting back to me, Fletcher told him, and for everything else you've done to help as well.
No problem, Caden said, stepping back.
He caught Alex's gaze once more, his eyes telling her so much more than any words could express. He was asking her to trust him. But she couldn't. Too much was at stake. She closed her eyes and turned her head away. A quiet sigh reached her ears, and then he whispered,
Feel better, Alex.
For some reason, his kind words made her feel worse.
And then what happened?
It was the next afternoon, and Alex was sitting with her friends under her favorite tree by the lake, telling them about the events that had transpired over the past 24 hours. Fletcher had made her stay in the medical ward overnight, and well into the morning, ignoring her protests that it was just a scratch. He'd been worried about infection after seeing the depth of the claw wounds, and because of that, he hadn't been willing to seal her injury closed until he was certain his regenerators had run their full course of healing from the inside out, which had taken all night. The only visitor she'd been allowed was the headmaster, who had come after Alex had mentioned to Fletcher that there was more to the story and that Darius needed to hear it. Both of them had listened intently when she detailed what happened to the Hyrroa, but neither had known why Avon wanted its blood. Like her, they were relieved that the Maiaran hadn't known she was so close. Darius had again reminded her to be on her guard, but he hadn't pressed her further about visiting Maia. He was giving her time to think, just like she'd asked, and she was grateful for his patience. Fletcher had released Alex before lunch, and she'd met up with her friends. They'd stopped by the medical ward the previous night, but apparently Alex had been fast asleep. That was hardly surprising, considering how drugged up she'd been on pain meds. But now the four of them sat and swapped stories. Alex had started first, and she was just wrapping up, wanting to hurry it along so she could hear about their SAS trials. That was it, she answered Jordan. Fletcher patched me up, Caden asked some probing questions, Darius reminded me to be careful, and then I fell asleep.
A Hyrroa, Bear whistled. I can't believe it. Those things are insane.
Do you have a wicked scar? Jordan asked.
I bet you do. Claw marks. That's so cool.
Alex didn't bother to tell him that it was most definitely not cool. Painful? Undeniably. Cool? Absolutely not. Rather than arguing the point, she reminded him about Fletcher's amazing medicines and lifted the hem of her shirt to show that there was no scarring on her back. Jordan had the nerve to look disappointed, at least until he caught her glare and smiled sheepishly at her.
Let me see the necklace again, DC asked, reaching out to admire the jewelry that was fastened around Alex's neck. She'd mentioned it to Darius the night before, but he'd just looked amused and told her to keep it unless asked otherwise. Weird, for sure, but she'd been in too much of a medication haze to argue.
All right, enough about me, Alex said finally. I want to hear what happened with Hunter.
There's not much to tell,
Bear said, snapping a twig between his fingers.
He took us out to the forest and told us we had to prove ourselves worthy of his class.
Then he left. None of us had any idea what to do, DC admitted. At first, we stood there like lost kittens, but then we jumped straight in, coming to our own conclusions about what we were meant to do.
I figured out that it must have been some kind of scavenger hunt, Jordan said. The others began to catch on, and everyone kind of branched out and looked for clues. For some reason, most of them ended up climbing trees and falling out of them. There was a lot of competition to earn Hunter's regard.
What happened in the end? Alex asked. Did you find any clues?
All I found was a nest of very unhappy Faindas,
Bear grumbled, holding out his swollen hand for Alex to see. She winced in sympathy, remembering her very first medical science class where she'd been stung by one of the wasp-like insects, whose venom caused instant paralysis.
I found a stick that was shaped in a U, Jordan said. I took it to mean, turn around, you idiot,
but even then I didn't find anything. He couldn't keep the disappointment from his tone when he added, "To be honest, we don't know if we were actually meant to find any clues. It was a long shot to begin with."
"I guess we'll just have to wait until tonight," DC said. "Hunter told us he'll personally visit the people he chooses for his class."
"That's exciting," Alex said brightly, trying to be encouraging. Bear snorted, while the other two just grinned at her overly enthusiastic response. "Truly," Alex added, but then she realized just how fake she sounded and laughed with them.
"Okay, you know me too well, but I'm still hoping you guys get in, since I know how much it means to you."
"Thanks, Alex," Bear said, "but honestly, it's not looking that great, for us or anyone else. Half our year ended up in the med ward, and the rest of us ran out of time and were sent back here more confused than when we started."
"Yeah," Jordan agreed, stabbing the ground with a stick. "I wouldn't be surprised if Hunter didn't take on any new recruits this year."
"Hey, don't count yourselves out just yet," Alex said. "You never know what might happen."
7. Late that night, a knock sounded on the door to Alex and DC's dorm room. Knowing DC wouldn't knock before entering her own room, Alex presumed the visitor was Jordan or Bear and opened the door without hesitation.
"Good evening, Alex."
Her eyes widened at the sight of Hunter standing there. His dark cape swirled around him, but his hood was drawn back so she could see his face.
Good evening, sir," she replied awkwardly. She was caught off guard by his casual use of her name. Not that she minded. She preferred to be called Alex. It was just unexpected.
But more unexpected was his presence in her dorm room.
What was he?
"Oh," Alex smiled when the realization hit her. "You must be here to see Dix," she guessed, excited for her friend, since Hunter's visit meant DC must have been accepted into his class.
"She's not here right now. She's at the library. I'm sure you could catch her there, or I can go and find her if you want."
Alex wasn't sure why she'd offered, especially since she was already dressed for sleep, in her comfiest pajamas, no less. Hunter shook his head.
"I'm not here to see Miss Cavell."
Alex thought his response was strange. Why else would he be knocking on their door? But then she realized what he'd said. How did he know who DC really was? That was top secret, as far as Alex was aware. But then again, she shouldn't have been surprised, since Hunter was the kind of person who seemed to know everything. "Jordan and Bear aren't here either," Alex said, wondering if maybe that was why he was at her doorstep. "But their room is just down the hall." Alex had only a single moment of warning to note Hunter's amused expression, and from it a very strong feeling of dread swept through her.
"I'm not here for your friends, Alex," he said with a smirk. "Congratulations on passing your trial yesterday. You're officially accepted into my stealth and subterfuge class."
What? Alex wondered if she looked as confused as she felt. "I think there must be some kind of mistake." Hunter tilted his head, his smirk deepening.
"It's not often that I'm wrong."
"Then this is your lucky day," Alex said. "I didn't try out for your class, so there's no way I could have passed whatever your trial was. You have the wrong person." His dark eyes glittered with humor.
"Is that so?"
"Yep," Alex said confidently. "Sorry you wasted your time." She reached for the door, intent on closing it to end the conversation and not caring how rude the gesture might seem. But Hunter moved to lean against it, blocking her dismissal.
"Tell me, Alex," he said, as relaxed as if he was lounging on a beach somewhere. "Did you or did you not venture into the forest at some point yesterday afternoon?"
"Not by choice," Alex thought, but she didn't say that out loud. "Yes, I was there for a few hours, so?" His lips curled knowingly, and Alex felt her sense of dread rise up again.
"Then you entered the trial zone," he said.
"Despite the fact that you didn't sign up for testing?" Your participation confirmed your entry to my class.
What?
Alex spluttered. I didn't participate. I didn't even know where the trial was being held.
Intentional or not, you actively took part in the exercise, regardless of whether you were aware of it at the time, Hunter said. And out of all your classmates, you were the only one to succeed.
No, no, no. This was all wrong. Hunter was wrong. This was a prank. Right?
Alex backed away from the door and slumped down on the edge of her bed, too overwhelmed to stay on her feet.
You should feel proud, Hunter continued, still standing in the doorway. Never before has a student slipped by me as expertly as you did.
Alex rubbed her temples. I don't understand.
Should I spell it out for you?
Hunter asked, a hint of mockery in his voice.
It's as I said. You're now a student in my stealth and subterfuge class.
She jerked her head from side to side. No.
Yes.
No, she repeated firmly. Thank you for your offer, but I'm afraid I have to decline. There, that should do it. Despite her confusion about whatever trial he was talking about, at least she could decide yay or nay, and for her, it was a definite nay.
I'm afraid you have little choice in the matter, Hunter said, unconcerned by her growing frustration.
It's my life, Alex argued.
Remember the meeting on your first evening back at the academy? Hunter asked. Didn't I say that any student who attended Saturday's trial and was granted a position would find themselves mandatorily required to attend classes?
Alex couldn't recall his exact wording, but she did have a vague memory of him saying something along those lines. But she hadn't attended the trial, let alone succeeded in it, whatever it was. Yes, but...
What's that around your neck, Alex?
Hunter interrupted. Feeling off balance from the abrupt change in topic, she looked down at the shimmery myrox glinting in the light. It's a necklace. I found it in the... Alex groaned as everything fell into place. No flipping way. Hunter actually had the nerve to chuckle at her reaction.
You can keep it as a token prize. No one has ever recovered the target before in all my years of teaching the class, so it only seems fitting, considering your exemplary performance. And it may come in handy, especially with the trials you'll be facing in the future.
Alex chose to ignore the implication in his last statement and the question of how the necklace would come in handy, and she addressed the rest of his words. You can't do this, Hunter. It was an accident. I wasn't even meant to be out there. Things just happened that way.
With an uncaring shrug, he said, That's not my problem.
I'll be terrible at your class, Alex tried, hoping a different angle might work. I'm not stealthy or subterfugey, and I don't like spiders.
Not her best argument, but she would just have to roll with it. Hunter arched an eyebrow.
Your point?
Not just spiders, all bugs. We don't get along, Alex said. And I'm sure your class will spend time in the forest, and, well, you don't need me squealing every time I feel something crawling up my arm. That would totally ruin the, stealthy atmosphere.
Hunter regarded her for a moment, and then pushed off the door, losing his casual appearance.
Listen to me, Alex,
he said with a quiet intensity. It was the first time he'd dissolved his politely official demeanor, and she could see he meant business.
Part of my gifting involves perception. It allows me to be aware of the people around me at any given time. Right now, I can tell you that there are currently 15 people on this floor alone. 6 of them are asleep, 4 are catching up on homework. 2 are gossiping about boys, and 2 more are bouncing around in their room as if drunk on dillyberry juice.
He paused and added,
Coincidentally, those last 2 happen to be your friends, and the next time you see them, you might want to let them know that their mattresses aren't intended to be used as trampolines.
Alex wished she was with Jordan and Bear right now, not sitting and waiting for Hunter's other shoe to drop.
because she was sure it was about to happen.
The final person is standing right here, me, Hunter continued. If you have any basic mathematical skills, you'll have worked out that there's one person missing from my count, you. I can't read you, not at all, not where you are, not what you're doing. I believe this is because of your own gift and the protection it affords you, an invaluable asset, in my opinion. But that alone isn't enough to warrant your enrollment in my class. I had no idea you were in those trees yesterday afternoon, and not just because my gift didn't sense your presence. Your technique, intentional or not, was nearly flawless.
But I... Alex tried to speak, but Hunter continued, not letting her cut in.
Firstly, you weren't supposed to be out there, so my SAS spotters didn't know to look out for you. That was an example of subterfuge at its finest, strategic deceit.
No, I...
Secondly, Hunter pressed,
his hard look warning her not to talk over him again.
You avoided all my traps on the forest floor by remaining high above the ground for the entirety of your journey. Again, that was a clever ploy. And thirdly, you moved through the trees like you were born to do so. I only noticed you right at the very end, but it was clear how comfortable you were running and jumping from branch to branch. You claim to lack stealth, but I disagree.
That's just what happens after a few hours of tree hopping, Alex thought, but she didn't try to interrupt him again.
Your ingenuity and adaptation sparked my interest, Hunter informed her, but it was your curiosity that sealed the deal. From my viewpoint, I could clearly see you were injured, and yet, when you noticed the pendant shining in the tree, you didn't turn away. You continued onward to collect it. You exhibited determination, a character trait that's essential in my class. For most new students, it's the only requirement for their qualifications since, as I mentioned before, no one else has ever found the object of their search.
Maybe if you made it clear that they actually had to look for something, Alex muttered under her breath.
It's easy to show determination when there's a focus point, Hunter said, but when the end result is less clear, that's when a person's true character is tested.
Alex sighed, knowing she wasn't going to win against him. He had his reasons, quite a few, apparently, for wanting her in his class, despite her lack of willingness. I officially don't like you, she said with exasperation. And just in case you missed it before, I definitely don't want to take part in your class.
Your opinion has been noted, Hunter said. And with that, he spun around with a whirl of his cape, saying over his shoulder, I'll see you on Tuesday night, Alex.
She blinked at the spot where he'd been standing and watched as the door closed automatically behind him. What just happened? She wondered out loud, leaning forward to rest her head in her hands. A moment later, the door sprung open again, causing Alex to jump in fright. Hey, DC greeted her, walking over to drop her books on her desk. I just saw Hunter walking down the hall. He nodded at me but didn't say anything, so I guess I didn't make it in. It's probably for the best anyway. Like you said, things are pretty crazy without having to add an extra class to the workload, and I think... Are you all right? DC must have finally noticed Alex's strained expression. Has something happened? It wasn't Avon again, was it? No, nothing like that, Alex assured her friend. It's just... She had no idea what to say or where to start. She decided to just blurt it out. A loud rhythmical knock at the door interrupted her words. DC glanced at Alex and said what they both already knew. That'll be Jordan and Bear. Are you okay for me to let them in? Yeah, sure, Alex said, thankful that she could share her news with them all now to save having to repeat herself later.
Hail the conquering hero,
Bear cried, barging into the room as soon as DC opened the door.
Thank you, thank you. I love you all, my worthy subjects,
Jordan said, bowing pretentiously. You got in? DC asked. And when he nodded, she squealed and launched herself at him. Jordan seemed startled by her reaction, but then he laughed and spun her around. When he put her back on her feet, she turned to look at Bear.
Not me, I'm afraid, their dark-haired friend said.
While he seemed disappointed, it was clear he was ecstatic for Jordan.
Next year, hopefully.
Alex felt queasy. She knew how much the position meant to her friends, and they knew how much she didn't want it. She had no idea how they would react. The only good news was, if they decided not to hate her, she would have the comfort of having Jordan in her class.
I didn't get in either, DC told them. But I'm so happy for you, Jordan. You'll have to tell us all about it, and oh, the stories you'll have. I bet it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, Jordan agreed. But I wish you guys could have made it, too.
Next year, maybe, DC said, echoing Bear's words.
Hey, Alex, no congrats for your favorite friend? Jordan asked, seeing Alex sitting slumped on her bed.
I'm her favorite, DC corrected, elbowing him.
Jordan nudged her back. You wish. Since you guys are arguing about it, I think I should win by default,
Bear put in. Despite her worrying thoughts, Alex's lips quirked with amusement. These were her closest friends, her family, really. If they couldn't accept what she was about to tell them, then no one would. She stood and walked over to where they clustered near the door. I'm so happy for you, Jordan. I know how much you wanted this.
Thanks, Alex, he said, pulling her into a hug.
When he let her go, he kept his hands on her shoulders and looked into her eyes. She had difficulty holding his gaze.
All right, what's going on?
He guided her over to sit on her bed again.
Spill.
She sighed, wishing her friends couldn't read her so well. Jordan sat next to her, while DC and Bear moved to sit on DC's bed facing them.
I don't know how to say this. It's just us, Alex, Bear said, his voice soft. We won't bite.
Jordan gave her a roguish wink and added, much. Alex smiled half-heartedly at them, and then she opened her mouth and let the words tumble out. I got into Hunter's class. Three pairs of eyes blinked at her.
What do you mean?
Bear asked, his expression confused. I got into Hunter's class. Into SAS, Alex repeated. He came and told me just before you all arrived.
But how? DC stammered. You didn't even try out.
I know, Alex cried. It doesn't make any sense. Hunter said that because I was in the forest yesterday on my way back to the academy, to him that meant I was participating in the exercise.
She ran her hands through her hair in agitation and then moved them down to touch the Myrox necklace.
It might have been okay if I hadn't found this. Apparently, it was what you were all meant to be searching for. I just happened to have the advantage of height, since I was already up in the trees and not falling out of them like the others.
Alex stopped talking. She had no idea what her friends were thinking. Did they hate her? Would they turn against her in jealousy? What if they never wanted to see her again?
She sat there fidgeting and waiting for someone to break the silence. Then, Jordan started chuckling.
Alex looked at him in surprise and turned her disbelieving gaze to Bear and DC when they joined in. Soon all three of them were laughing uncontrollably.
What part of this is funny?
Alex demanded.
Only you, Alex, Jordan said with clear affection. This could only happen to you.
You're not angry? She asked tentatively.
Me? I'm stoked, Jordan said. We're going to have a great time together.
I wasn't really asking you, Jordan, Alex said quietly, turning to her other two friends. It was them who had missed out, but despite her fear, they were both smiling at her.
Definitely not angry, DC promised. Concerned for you, absolutely. I know how much you didn't want this,
but Hunter must have his reasons.
Apparently he has a few, Alex muttered, but she didn't go into detail.
She turned to Bear, more anxious about his reply, since she knew how much he in particular had wanted to be in the class.
Ghost is a mysterious man,
Bear said, still smiling warmly at Alex.
I agree with Dix. He must have his reasons for accepting you, especially since he knew you didn't want any part in his class.
You were kind of obvious about it. But I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from him, and I'm just as excited for you as I am for Jordan.
Alex wilted with relief. I thought you guys were going to flip out on me.
We wanted it, sure. But we also knew that the chances of getting in were slim to none, Bear said. Hunter told us that at the meeting. There's no point being disappointed by something we have no control over.
I guess you're right, Alex acknowledged. Their reactions were much better than she had feared. They stayed together and chatted comfortably for the next few hours, throwing out ideas for what Hunter might teach in his class. Every new suggestion caused Alex's stomach to flutter with nerves, making her dread the coming Tuesday night initiation even more. Eventually, their conversation began to wind down as the strain of the weekend caught up with them all.
We should get going, Jordan said, after checking the time on his comm TCD.
Curfew meant they had to be back in their dormitory buildings by 10 o'clock, but there was no lights-out policy at Acarnae. As long as students were in the building, they were free to do what they wanted. Their exhausting classes provided more than enough motivation for them to be responsible with their own sleeping hours. Neither Alex nor DC bothered to rise after Jordan's announcement, as they were already settled for the night. But when the boys reached the door, Alex remembered something.
Oh, and by the way, she said, Hunter asked me to tell you two to stop jumping on your beds.
She only had a microsecond to see their startled expressions before the door closed behind them, but it was enough to send her to sleep with a smile on her face. The next 2 days passed much too quickly, in Alex's opinion. Before she knew it, she was eating dinner on Tuesday evening, nervously awaiting what was surely going to be a horrible experience.
Are you excited yet? Jordan asked for what felt like the 20th time in as many minutes.
Not yet, Alex said. And the more you ask, the slower the excitement seems to be incoming. Earlier that day, they had both received notes telling them to meet at the forest boundary after dinner for their first 2-hour class. They were also given specific clothing requirements that, to Alex's bemusement, included wearing the black cape from her wardrobe that she'd always wondered about. Sitting in the food court dressed head to toe in the dark attire made her feel as out of place as Darth Vader at the beach.
Aw, come on, Alex, Jordan whined. It's going to be amazing.
You and I have very different definitions of amazing, she told him. While Jordan was practically bouncing with anticipation, Alex was wishing time would rewind so she could find a way out of the mess she was currently in.
I'm sure it won't be so bad, DC said, trying to sound encouraging. If nothing else, you're bound to learn heaps from Hunter.
That's what I'm afraid of, Alex mumbled. The man was too mysterious for his own good.
It's time, Jordan said, rising to his feet. Are you ready?
Definitely not, Alex answered, but she stood as well. It wasn't like she had a choice.
So much for her gift of willpower. What good was it to her now?
Together, they left the food court and disappeared into the night. Almost literally, really, given how they blended into the dark with their black clothing.
If I get stuck in some kind of thorny bush, do you promise to come back and find me at the end of the night? Alex asked, tripping on her cape for the third time.
This thing is going to kill me.
It's not that bad. Jordan failed to hide the amusement in his tone. You just have to learn how to ignore the swishing of the material.
Ignore the swishing? She repeated. That's your advice?
He chuckled and didn't answer, but Alex found that walking was easier when she didn't focus on the cape as much.
It's still not very appropriate clothing for the forest, she muttered to herself.
All too soon they reached their destination, where only two other people were already waiting.
Hey, guys, Pipsqueak said.
Yo, greeted Blink. It's a fine night to discover our inner stealth. Am I right?
It sure is, Jordan agreed, returning the offered fist bump. It was clear that both Pipsqueak and Blink were just as excited as Jordan to have made the cut for Hunter's class. Alex seemed to be the only one with any reservations.
Did anyone else get in? She asked.
Not that I've heard, Pipsqueak answered, but I didn't know about you either. I don't remember seeing you at the tryouts.
It's a long story, Alex murmured, not wanting to explain. Pipsqueak shrugged.
It's cool you're here. This is going to rock.
Jordan, Blink, and Pipsqueak struck up an excited conversation about what they hoped would happen. But as the minutes ticked by, Alex grew more and more anxious. They'd been told to show up by 7:30, and it was now well after that. But no one had arrived yet, including Hunter. Given the name of the class, Alex wondered if they were about to receive a crash course in what was ahead for them. "Guys, I think you should keep it down," Alex said quietly, urging the others to settle. None of them paid her any attention, but Jordan did turn to give her a reassuring smile. He must have just thought she was nervous, which she was. But it was more than that. A twig snapped, and Alex whirled around, peering deeper into the forest. It was too dark for her to see much of anything, but her spidey senses were on high alert, and she couldn't shake the feeling they were being watched. She squinted into the shadows until something caught her eye, a stirring of movement accompanied by the sound of a bush rustling.
"Guys, seriously," Alex whispered. "Shut up."
The tone of her voice must have clued them in that she wasn't playing around, and they immediately dropped their conversation.
"What is it?"
Jordan asked, stepping closer to her.
"There's something in there," Alex said, pointing into the shadows.
Images of the Hiroa lunging out of the forest caused a shiver to run down her spine.
"What sort of something?"
Pipsqueak asked, her voice higher than normal. Eyes gleaming with the thrill of adventure, Blink said,
"Let's check it out."
Alex wasn't a huge fan of the idea, but she was all for strength in numbers, so when the other three began to walk forward, she followed along resignedly. They only had to step a few paces into the forest before they discovered the source of the movement. It was a piece of cloth caught on a tree branch, flapping in the wind.
"Disappointing," Blink said. "But at least we solved the great towel mystery."
Alex didn't think the cloth was a towel, but that was hardly the point. What she was more concerned about was that the flapping noise it made definitely didn't resemble the snapping twig and rustling bush sounds she'd heard. Something didn't add up. Just as Blink stepped forward to take the cloth from the tree, Alex turned her gaze to the ground and her eyes widened.
"Wait!"
But her warning was too late. Blink had already yanked at the fabric, accidentally activating the trap on which they were all standing. The net-covered ground flew up around them, throwing them all high into the air until they were trapped, dangling helplessly in the woven material.
"That was unexpected,"
Jordan muttered, trying to push Alex's elbow out of his face. There was no room for her to move, though, since they were all squished together with their arms and legs tangled in and out of the net. Alex was doubly uncomfortable, since her annoying cape was twisted around someone else and tugging on her throat, nearly choking her. Came Blink's distorted voice.
"What?"
Pipsqueak asked.
"Ouch."
"Sorry, but your foot was totally in my face,"
Blink repeated, his words clear now.
"So you bit me?"
Pipsqueak demanded.
"It got you to move, didn't it?" Blink asked. "Mission success."
"Quiet, guys," Alex said, preempting their argument. "We need to find a way out of this."
"Anyone have a knife?"
Jordan asked. Alex was too busy trying to keep her cape from strangling her to tell him how ridiculous his question was, as if any of them would be carrying a weapon to class. But then she thought about some of their other subjects and realized it probably wasn't that far-fetched an idea, really.
"Sorry, man," Blink said. 100% unarmed."
"Same here,"
Pipsqueak agreed.
"Alex?"
Jordan asked. "I've got nothing," she answered, finally managing to tug some breathing space between her cape and her throat. Now that she wasn't in imminent danger of suffocation, she reached out to touch the netting. "I don't—" A weight landed in her open hand. She was so startled that she almost dropped the object. And when she realized what it was, she did drop it. But she scrambled to grab it before it could fall through the net, despite how shocked and repulsed she was. Because in her hands was the dagger Avon had used to claim her, the one that had stabbed her in the back and nearly killed her.
Actually, I think I might have something that can help, Alex said,
her voice wobbling slightly. Everyone, hold on, and I'll try to cut us out. The ice-colored blade sawed through the dense netting like it was made of butter. Alex hadn't anticipated such easy results, and she was unprepared when the woven material sliced open around her. She had to drop the dagger to hold onto the net, but she watched as the weapon fell through the air and disappeared. Alex was so shocked that she let go of the netting and fell to the ground with a heavy thump. Ow, she muttered, rolling over and frantically searching the ground for the missing weapon. But she couldn't find it anywhere. You okay? Jordan asked, still dangling in the air above her.
Yeah,
she answered, despite the fact that she felt anything but okay. Where had the dagger come from? And where had it disappeared to? Her last memory of the weapon was when it had been flying through the air towards DC just moments before Alex had intercepted the attack. She'd never thought to ask Fletcher or Darius what they'd done with it after removing it from her flesh. She hadn't wanted to ask. Now, though, she wished she had.